Wait a minute. Hold tight. My apologies to everyone listening. Hold tight. Hold tight. I had a technical difficulty right here. Heather will edit this out. Don't worry, everybody.
No, I won't.
Heather, you'll edit this out.
I do no such thing.
You will do what I say.
Okay, we're starting the show.
Hang on, wait. You got that line wrong. That line was written as, you shall do what I say.
Oh, God damn it. That's okay. Heather will edit that out, too.
Will not.
You will do as I say. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Hello, and welcome to Skeptical Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by the Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, the No God Band on the inner tubes, and our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guests' websites, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by our friend and birthday boy was last week.
Joe Swam!
To skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
Yeah, happy birthday again to Joe Swam.
That's your turn.
I know. And please go to iTunes. Subscribe to our podcast for free. Write a review. Help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never put us. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now and help Trump get impeached.
Well, how does subscribing help Trump get impeached? No, really. I don't think you should say things like that to the list. Heather, what?
Shut the fuck up. If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. At nighttime in the Studio City tonight, we have Peter Boghossian, Rick Rosner, and Matt Kirshen. You know these guys from the world of
reason.
I don't know why we do ghost sounds. It doesn't make any sense. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey,
Yeah.
Why are there a lot of people in here? I mean, no offense, I like all these people, but I'm sure it was just one person running the show last time I did this, and now there's like eight. What is everyone doing?
Well, they're not running the show. We actually have kind of an audience here.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's a couple of reasons that we have this many people observing as we do the show.
Uh-huh.
One of them, and quite significant, is when I got Rick Rosner booked, I got him booked to come do the show because we have a friend in common. He had a Twitter friend, and Aubrey Ayash is his name, or Ayash? How do you say that?
Asshole. Aubrey Asshole. That's
Robbie
his name.
Robbie Asshole. Yeah, he called me, and he's like, hey, man, I know this Rick Rosner guy. He's a genius IQ of 192. And I think it's just because it rhymes. I think that's why it's 192. And he said, is that why?
That's why.
He said, I'm an easy book. You don't have to know anybody who knows.
Well, it turns out we have numerous friends in common, which is kind of cool. I didn't realize that. So, but I had not heard of Rick until I heard from Aubrey. And Aubrey happened to be in town the time that he got booked, which Aubrey kind of, I think he
set
manufactured
up.
Yeah, that on purpose. That and he was doing. And he's also behind bringing Peter Boghossian into town.
Yeah.
Peter, is. I think Aubrey and Peter are probably attending the Shermer fundraiser, which Aubrey always attends. We've been there a couple times with Aubrey as well. So that's the answer to that question. And then, of course, Peter's a superstar in the skeptic community. And
atheist community.
Yeah.
Superstar hated at the moment.
At the moment, there's some people who are being dicks to you, man.
What'd you do?
Yeah, what the hell did you do, man?
That's a good question. You know, maybe the question is, what could one do to warrant such vitriol?
I'm amazed.
100% atheist?
Yeah, or something, right? I mean, well, it would actually have to counter the doctrine.
Yeah, go ahead. It's not really the atheist community so much that's after you, I guess, on this. It's the skeptic community, which is mostly atheists. But there is in the Venn diagram of those two communities, they're pretty, both
overlapping.
Of them are big overlap. But it really is the skeptic thing. A friend of mine, and I didn't want her to come on the show to talk about this. I'll talk to her privately about this. I'll put her on the show as well to talk about this. But when I heard that she, first of all, let's outline what we're talking about. And I know you're tired of talking about this.
I'm kind of tired, but our
listeners haven't heard about it. So you did a hoax. I love the name, the title of the paper that you got published.
Yeah. The Conceptual Penis is a Social Construct.
That was the title of it.
And you wrote that with James Lindsay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He was first author on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they wrote this academic paper, and they actually got it published. And in fact, it's just bullshit, gibberish,
jargon,
silliness.
It's
yeah.
Glad to know that was bullshit, because I read the paper and...
You thought... You
well, I've always thought that the conceptual penis evolved naturally over time. And, like, I thought the conceptual penis was innate rather than constructed. Right. And uh-huh. so I was livid.
You were livid when you found out it was.
Well, I was like, "Who refereed this?"
To your relief, he has not debunked the evolution of the conceptual penis.
Right.
Just for the record.
By the way, if you've ever seen that evolutionary chart where it all starts off hunched over and then ends up fully erect.
Oh yeah.
And that's funny. Yeah. So he wrote this paper. You got it published in. What the
Cogent Social Sciences.
Thank you, Cogent Social Sciences. Yeah. Sciences and. And then the community of skeptics just completely lost their minds.
Yeah. They
lost
trashed
I think it, yeah, but I don't, so what? I mean, yeah, but you're right. You're
yeah.
Right, sorry. I think it was, for a number of reasons, they were upset that it was a third-tier journal, lower journal, which, by the way, when we did the write-up in The Skeptic, that was the first thing we mentioned, that this is a huge problem. We also mentioned
journals.
Yeah. That libraries pay for these, and I teach at Portland State, and the Portland State Library was going to pay for ethical reasons. So there was a publication fee that people were pissed. They never sent us a thing. But, you know, it's interesting. I just have a piece coming out in Educational Philosophy and Theory, and they want, I think, $2,000 if you want to have it open access. So that's a thing now to pay so that your journal isn't behind a firewall, so that anyone can see it. Yeah. But ultimately, I think either they compared it to the original Sokol hoax, who was a physicist at NYU who did the hoax of hermeneutic of gravity in the 90s. Yeah. And really, ultimately, what it is, a lot of it is that we pointed out that the Empress has no clothes.
Yeah.
That a lot of this is bullshit, and it's anything tainted or infected by postmodernism. Look, all of the nonsense at Evergreen, at Yale, the Christakises, etc., we need to start thinking about where does this emanate from, and it directly emanates from those fields touched by postmodernism, but in particular gender studies.
Oh. Right, right. Nowhere.
And it is, let's be crystal clear about something, this is a secular religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it has all the rules of the secular, it has blasphemy, it has, you know, Christianity has original sin, they have privilege, it mirrors, yeah, go ahead, Rick.
Hold on, I've got a near minor in women's studies. Mm. And if you're on
near
Twitter,
minor.
Well, 12
minutes.
Like
yeah, yeah.
And if you're on Twitter, you learn as a guy to shut the fuck up about women's issues.
Don't you mansplain to me about me.
Oh, well, sir, I mean, I like to keep quiet, sorry, personally, because there's a lot of ways to just not be right.
Yeah, it's good to sit back and listen sometimes. You know, a lot of people can't do that. They just open their mouth and all the vomit comes out, and they're wrong. You know, but to be able to sit back and listen to what people are saying, but then
to be shut down,
yeah,
because you have a set of testicles, yeah, is really weird.
Identity politics. So,
and told not to use them to stand up for yourself.
So look, we can have this conversation, but it's a very serious conversation and it's very complicated. But I'm happy to have it. It deals with intersectionality. It deals with what it means to have an identity politics and gender units as gender studies as activism on campus. We can have that.
Yeah.
It will change the tenor of the whole podcast.
Yeah,
it's not going to be very funny.
Let me just quickly say that. I mean, one deal that I think is legit, I mean, especially looking at social media, is that a lot of guys, the 4chan guys, and just a lot of guys are fucking dickbags to women all over social media. And it's an understandable and justified reaction to say, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that a lot of guys are dicks. And if you look at the rape rates, they're 99% male and 1% female. And if you look, and that's
so sad.
That's corroborated by other statistics, right?
Yeah.
And the way there are more productive and less productive ways to address that, and we don't need to be making shit up and proclaiming it as a new gospel, right? We need to teach people to formulate. It's the same thing you guys talk about every week, right? There are certain normative sets of the scientific method and inquiry, etc., and we need to be honest about all these problems.
I have a question for you. You posted the last time we interacted on Facebook is because you posted just a thought, something you were feeling at that moment. You know, yeah. How the most people who criticize are the ones that aren't.
Accomplished or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
It seems like every time you just say a thought on Facebook, people just jump on you like, you know, wildcats.
It's unbelievable. And, yeah,
You go on, I also want to compliment you on the way you handle, is it Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Where you post, and then you almost never, if ever, interact with the discussion that follows, generally speaking.
Well,
and it kind of drives people nuts.
It does,
but
drive
I
people
love
nuts.
It. I love it. She was frustrated.
Well,
by it.
No, I'm not frustrated as much as I'm just curious as to why you may not choose to interact with some of the people who maybe have something valid to say or not trying to tear you down but have actual questions.
Yeah, okay. So it's amazing to me. Like, I'll be at the gym or it'll be late at night and I'll just have a thought and I'll just put it out there.
Yeah.
And then people will freak out. You know, I just mentioned before, the Australians call it tall poppy syndrome. You know, the poppy gets up, you want to cut it down. And it's amazing to me how
if you don't know what the tall poppy syndrome is, I beg you to go look it up. We're not going to spend time with the show right now. It's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, and it explains why Dawkins gets all the shitty debts and all the guys talk. But it's really interesting to me. So I want to use that as a segue to talk about something that
sure.
I think is really important. So we all play life games, right? We all the professional life game that I play right now. Like you're doing the comedy, and for you, what really I'm guessing this is true. I'm pretty sure it's true, but please correct me if I'm wrong. Is you get up and you give your set or your jokes, and then there's dead silence. Like so, that's a fail for you. And then you have successes, and you get rated, etc. We all have success in academia. Have successes. So quick, okay?
Yeah,
so
sure.
Getting your paper published is a success. Being a journal editor is considered a type of academic success. Being an editor is a type of academic success. Why, when I want to have a conversation about a hoax paper or anything else with people who aren't in that universe, it would be like my neighbor George is a plumber. He's a master plumber. He teaches plumbing. I don't know the first fucking thing about plumbing. Mm-hmm. It would be like me trying to criticize or make a comment about George's plumbing when I'm not even an armchair plumber. Mm-hmm. So one of the most important things we need to do, I think, is we need to figure out, and Lindsay has talked about this, whose voices to take seriously, what criticism to take seriously. If you haven't played that game, why would we take your, if you haven't published a paper in an academic journal, why should we give that criticism any time?
Right.
If you do want to talk to a plumber, a good question is to ask him or her, what's the grossest thing they've pulled out of a drain?
Trying to talk with a plumber, nothing but a trap. Thank you.
Fair.
Did you have a trap joke loaded? You didn't.
No, I had a point loaded. Well, I will say when you talk about sort of tall poppy syndrome or whatever, you can't ascribe. I don't know much about what happened with you and everything's in that world, but I followed a bit of what happened with Dawkins and what has been happening with Dawkins in the last 5 years, and. Well, I think it is fair to say that there is some of the most prominent person is the person who's most likely to get targeted and faces the most criticism, and some of that criticism will be negative. The other side of that is the more prominent you are in a world, the more affirmation you get and the more praise you get, and the more you can start to convince yourself that your expertise is greater and broader than it necessarily is, and that can lead you to say some fairly stupid things with a great deal of confidence.
Yes.
And I think some of that happened with Dawkins, where he is an expert in evolutionary biology and not in social science, and he said some things that were...
You know, I don't agree with you on this. Not even remotely or close. I'm so on the other side of the field on this one. Poppy field. Here's the deal. Dawkins, one of the things that you're alluding to, one of the things I can see that fits into this discussion is when Dawkins was talking about describing his own experience of having been molested.
That wasn't specifically what I was referring to.
Okay. And he was attacked for saying saying that what happened to him. There's other kinds of molestation and rape that are much worse than what happened to him. Mm-hmm. And he was just horrifically attacked in the same way that you're talking about, saying that he doesn't know about gender issues and these sorts of things. He shouldn't be talking about these things.
I'm not saying he shouldn't be talking about these things. I'm saying that when you have a level of prominence and you have a level of fame and renown, and particularly renown for your intelligence and your insight, you can get carried away and end up saying some things that are outside the bounds of your expertise with the confidence that you normally reserve for your expertise. And I think he did stray into that at times, and he said some things that I definitely disagree, and some things he's pulled back on.
Why would you assume that he said those things with confidence? Like, why do you ascribe the value of confidence when he makes a statement? That seems like a false ascription to me.
Well, and he's Richard Dawkins. I mean, you believe everything that the man said.
That's part of the fallacy. Yeah. And the other fallacy that I think you were alluding to is the courtier's replies. The idea that what Dawkins was criticized because he didn't know theology. You have to know theology, like Jerry Quinn calls it sophisticated theology, right, in order to criticize it. Well, that's just total nonsense.
I think it's fair to say if you say something in the same format and forum and in the same tone and style with which you say the things that you really know, then even if you're internally not feeling as confident about that statement, it certainly comes across that way. That's certainly how everyone receives it and experiences it.
Look, again, I think it depends on the broader context. I actually happen to disagree with that, but I think it depends on the context. Like, literally, I'm on 80% of my Twitter feeds correlate to when I'm on the treadmill. Because it's the only time I have to. And people take this, like you were saying, Heather, people take this so crazy seriously. Mm-hmm. And I do think it is tall poppy syndrome. And I do think that it is, we have created this culture that is so hostile and so adversarial and so partisan and so nasty and so mean. I mean, could you imagine, like, I'll just post a thought and then people will get on my Facebook page like, fuck you, fuck you. And I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, have you nothing better to do with your time?
Yeah.
But what's interesting to me is almost universally that sort of that harsh criticism comes from those people who themselves haven't and no significant accomplishments.
Yeah. Fuck those guys.
And I don't think that that's
sorry.
I don't think that's
sorry.
No, but I don't think that that's sorry. Unfair to say.
No, I'm
like, you never see Dennett criticize, like, you never see guys at the top making those invective criticisms, or very rarely, I shouldn't say never.
Very rarely. All right.
You show a lot of forbearance in not throwing yourself into the angsty delight of hassling with people for many hours.
Right. Yeah, I really love how you just put something out there, and then just, we can all just watch how it goes.
Yeah, it's the Wild West, and I never read the Facebook comments. I've actually stopped recently. Like, I used to look at my Twitter feed and respond to my...
Right.
But I don't do that anymore because the overwhelming majority of it is trolls and negativity. But these could be... A lot of these accounts are anonymous. I mean, these could be like 12-year-old kids in their basement. So why should... Again, that's the point of, we need to learn whose voice to take seriously.
Right.
And I just am not going to take serious criticism of people who have never... Of the conceptual penis, of people who have never published a paper in a peer-reviewed journal.
Or have even read it.
Yeah, and if you're a member of NAMBLA, just go to Peter Boghossian's wall and you can find some 12-year-olds to hit on. We'll be right back right after this. We have a break to take. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
Good news, everyone.
That's right, quiet old guy voice. We have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes, and you'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. The premium service will allow you, however, to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. If you want to support us, please go to SkepticallyYours.net/premium and subscribe. Why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
To change that goddamn burnout light bulb everyone keeps talking about.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the Free Thought and Skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Hey, kids, remember the good old days of simple, wholesome fun? Back when you could watch cartoons on Saturday morning? Remember watching Mr. Peabody and Sherman use their Wayback Machine to visit the realms of ancient history? And remember how disappointing it was that they didn't fuck anybody? Didn't you want to see Mr. Peabody get his hot little doggy holes stuffed by Zebulon Pike or Galileo? Well, now you can. Only instead of a dog and an underage boy, it's two hot sorority chicks using a time machine to screw their way through history. Time Bangers is a hot new series of erotic time travel novels set for full release on July 28th. For more details, check out www.timebangers.com. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll come.
We're hot. I'm coming back from the... And now back to Skeptical Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Peter Boghossian, Rick Rosner, and the lippy Matt Kirshen. Matt, you are writing for an amazing show right now.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's amazing. I really like the show.
What is it?
Thank you. I'm writing
on the Jim Jefferies show.
There we go.
Where is it?
Of course.
It's on
Comedy Central various other networks around the world.
Yeah.
But Comedy Central's the US one.
Cool.
And that's who's making it.
So we plug that. You can go.
Yeah,
so
thanks.
No worries. Thanks. I want to wrap up this conversation because I know I don't want to spend the whole show. We could spend the whole show talking about this problem. You and I think, agree that it's a major problem, major social problem we're talking about here. If people want to go find out about the hoax that you pulled, you and Lindsay pulled.
The Skeptic, and then we did a rebuttal.
Skeptic Magazine?
Skeptic Magazine, Michael Shermer, and then we did a 10-point rebuttal.
Okay, good.
To the critics.
Good, good, good.
What I want to know is the conceptual penis a fact, or is it just a theory?
Well, for that, you need to read the paper.
Ah! There you go. The fact is, you need to read the paper, theoretically.
Right.
So
you said you had a question for Rick.
Yeah.
We started talking about. I said at 4 million Twitter followers, you must get a lot of shit, and then you said,
"Well, I try to generate a certain amount of shit, but I really don't get as much shit as I think I deserve."
Can I give you some shit now?
That's unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
I spent the last 2 weeks diving into you.
Okay.
He was stalking you.
No.
Stalking.
I watched.
Naked.
I watched your. There was a documentary done online. You can see it. I don't remember the title of it. What's the title?
One in a Million Trillion. It's about how I was pissed off at Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Right.
Because they gave me a fucked question.
Right.
Yeah.
And I understand that you are obsessive about that. I get that.
It's 15 years ago. I have to pretend to not be still obsessive about it, but
I thought that was going to go the other way around. Like, you have to pretend to still be obsessed about it because that's the character that you've long over it. But no, it's the opposite. You're still...
Yeah, I have to pretend because I've signed a full disclosure agreement.
I mean, a lot of bad shit has happened. The whole 21st century has happened since I got the fucked question. The towers fell. We've had, like, a couple really terrible presidents.
Yeah. And, you know. Are you blaming Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for 9/11?
No, I'm just saying that it's tough to keep bitching about a $16,000 question when a bunch of people were pulverized in the collapse of buildings.
Well, when I dove in and started uncovering what you're about, who you are, I found stories that were written about the genius, 192 genius thing, second highest IQ in the, I don't know, country, world, or state, city, county, I don't remember.
World, according to one list.
Okay. I'm a skeptic, right? And I started... Here's what set me down this pathway I'm about to describe.
And I got to hear all about
it. Oh, poor Heather.
All right,
can I
agree with you ahead of time?
Okay.
Where IQ is... There's a lot of bullshit involved with IQ.
Yeah, listen, you're not going to get an argument of that kind from me. That's not really it. It's not about the IQ. I think you're a genius. I don't know what the number is, but everything I've seen tells me that you are above average intelligence, if not way, way, way beyond most people. That's my opinion of you.
There's also desperation to show that I'm good at something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to get to this location. I mean, it really did. At so one point, I was like, nobody eats cat food and dog food. Who's a genius? It just doesn't happen. So that happened to me for a while, right?
Well, I didn't know I was a genius when I did most of my dog food eating. Yeah.
Okay, that is not good reasoning you're using here. I want to tell you right now. But by the way, go watch that documentary. You do talk about eating cat food and dog
food.
Well, no, dog food. Yeah, cat food has like bone splinters.
Right. Yeah.
Gets stuck in your throat. You're telling me.
Yeah, yeah.
You think I wouldn't pour? What were you going to say, Matt?
I can't remember.
Okay, so
the video. Tell them the first thing that got you.
I'm a filmmaker, right? And I'm watching this video online. It opens with an MGM logo. It closes with the MGM logo and the lion. And there's no year underneath, like MGM always puts. And I'm watching this video, and it keeps skipping backward and then repeating sentences on the YouTube video. So there's technical issues with the upload. It stopped around 48 minutes, and the audio kept playing for a while, and it's broken. And I'm like, MGM's logos are on this thing. Why would this be online fucked up like this? Something's wrong here.
I don't know, because it's not my shit. It's Errol Morris's shit.
Yeah, well, that guy needs to have his fucking...
He's the best documentarian working today, and it's also the shit of whoever uploaded it, and I don't know who did that, but
well, it blew my mind, and the fact that it was so hodgepodgey weird, the whole thing, Errol's job, it made me go, wait a minute, this could all be bullshit. And so then, the next couple weeks, I'm trying to figure out if you're real or if you're doing a hoax.
Or if I'm a conceptual fucking penis.
Exactly. Well done, sir. You're clearly the comedy writer that I know you are. But here's the deal. I'm calling people that I know you, right?
Plus, you didn't mention any of that writing or any of the work that you've done.
In the movie.
Well, all that shit happened, the Kimmel shit, writing for late night TV, didn't happen for another couple years after that.
Right. So I'm totally frustrated by this process of trying to figure out if you're real. And up until the moment
that What do you mean real? What do you mean by that?
I thought this was a hoax. I thought what Rick Rosner was doing was a genius. I mean, you got to understand, I spent 2 years pretending to be in a wheelchair. Okay? I dig that kind of shit, right? So I thought I had stumbled onto a guy who's convinced the networks and the news, and turned me into a fucking conspiracy theorist.
Why would that matter to you, what his IQ is?
It's not about the IQ at all.
Well, it's the fact that he could pull a stunt like that off?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, once I thought that was true, I fell in love with Rick Rosner. And now that I know that it's not true, I just like him. But here's the deal. I finally called someone who I'm not going to name on air, or it doesn't matter who I call. I called a guy over at Kimmel that I know, and I said, help me out. I'm about to interview this cat. I think he's doing a great hoax. I don't want to blow the hoax. I don't want to put him on my show and blow the hoax, but I do a show called Skeptically Yours. And he goes, it's not a hoax. That guy is him. Ask him about his long toe. And
I guess I'll take off the
Yeah, we're gonna talk about the long toe. What we're talking about now about is a Morton's toe. He goes, the writers in the writer's room, we gave him nothing but shit about his second toe being longer than... And there's a wives' tale that suggests that a Morton's toe, which is the second toe, is longer than the big toe. If you research it, you'll find that the fact of the matter is, it's because the big toe is actually shorter than normal.
What are you wearing?
What creates a Morton's toe.
I have badass varicose veins throughout my whole body.
Oh, he's wearing the varicose veins.
I have to wear like a zillion fucking suppos.
It's got to be uncomfortable.
We only have to,
it's cozy. Everybody should wear suppos. If you look around people out in the world, everybody has like unhealthy cankles from edema around the ankle.
I just like that word.
Cankles is great.
So everybody should sleep with their legs elevated 2 inches and should wear pressure stockings. You'll live longer.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So, anyway, so there's the toe.
There's the toe.
Wow. Can I get a selfie with that?
Well, yours is actually abnormally long rather than just the normal Morton's toe.
It goes about 2 3/4.
Your face
That's
is
amazing.
Hilarious.
Now, there's a wives' tale. I don't know if it's a wives' tale. I couldn't find confirmation that anybody had done any science on this, but there are some people who claim that Morton's toe can be is often associated with high IQ.
Yeah, but
Have you heard that?
I've heard it, but it strikes me as maybe kind of the same deal as like full moon stories. Everybody
That's what
goes
I thought too.
Batshit. Like you notice when it's there plus something else.
Yeah.
But you don't notice when it's not there something else is still there.
You count the hits, you don't count the misses.
Yeah.
Right. And which is a sexist phrase when you break it down.
So this is all very well and good. Yeah. But I'm afraid to co-opt the conversation right now. So
no, I'm okay. I think I've said everything I wanted to say. I think the guy's amazing. I am definitely disappointed that I didn't discover that he's pulling off this fantastic hoax. When I called Kimmel's show today and talked to a guy over there, he's like, that dude is fucking great. He's exactly who he says he is, and he's quirky and awesome. So that's
my Twitter handle is Dumbass Genius, because for every smart thing I do a couple things that are fucking stupid.
Well, that's what freaked me out. I'm like, geniuses don't do the shit you've done.
Well,
I defended you.
Thank you.
Yeah, she did the whole time.
Well, I mean, the trouble is, if you get in the habit of trying to figure out shit yourself,
yeah,
there are things that happen in the world and in society that are the result of cultural evolution. They work over time. And now they're practiced by the majority of people who might be dumb shits, but because they embrace, you know, what some people call common sense or whatever, things go okay. You know, like real estate. If geniuses invaded the world of real estate, they might throw it, you know, entirely into chaos, but, you know, real estate is a safe place for people who aren't geniuses. Mm. But I got in the habit as a little kid of trying to figure out how to do shit myself, and often when you originate your own theory of how to do shit, it turns out bad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I took a razor blade. I thought, if chicks dig muscles and muscles are an evidence of being a tough guy, then maybe chicks dig scars, which are also evidence of a tough guy. And I had a bunch of scars, but they were all in shitty places. Around my asshole from a hemorrhoidectomy, one of my a hernia, vein stripping.
Nothing chicks love more than an asshole scar.
Yeah, so I was like, fuck that. I deserve to have visible scars.
Right.
And so I just, you know, hacked myself. This was during the Rambo era. I just sliced myself up and gave myself a bunch of, you know, nice looking, you know, Conan the Barbarian scars. And you
That's
know, only,
genius.
Except
How'd
it's
that
not.
Work?
It
How'd
didn't
that work.
Work. The only woman I ever ran into who thought they were cool just scared the shit out of me.
Right. You found a way to draw in that which you did not want.
Yeah.
I understand.
And now, like,
this is also a scene in The Jerk. He ended up with the exact same problem.
And instead of getting laid off of it, I've had 30 years of every time I meet a new doctor having to explain, yeah, well, I was a kid. And I thought, you know.
You see, your average person would make up a story that was efficient and move along and not
well, I tell
go
people
that,
that my scars are gang fight related. So,
yeah.
You know, that makes
they believe
me cool.
it because they're racist. What's that?
Yes, right. They do.
Doing a little bit of, you know what I'm doing. You were worried about co-opting. What were you going to say, Peter?
I guess I don't have many opportunities to have these kind of discussions, and maybe again, it's not for the right for the tenor of the show. But
it's right. Go.
I just had a bunch of questions that I've been curious about. I'd love to ask if that's okay.
Yeah.
So,
wait a minute. We have to take a break.
Are we going
to
take a break? Are you interrupted him? Just
I
to
am.
Break?
So they can get it over with.
Heather's cold, man. I was going to let him get started, and then I was going to interrupt him. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist?
Have you?
Well, you have now, so go check it out. Go to www.ardentatheist.com. A 10-year-old boy walks into a bar and asks the female bartender for a beer. She says, "Do you want to get me in trouble, young man?" He says, "Yeah, maybe later, but first, I'll have that beer."
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Peter Boghossian, Rick Rosner, and Matt Kirshen.
Hey.
You kill me. Oh, thanks for being here, everybody.
I miss you, Matt.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a while.
Matt's been working his ass off and touring and traveling, and it's good to see you again, brother.
It's nice to be back. Yeah, I'm in town for a while the show's going on. I pretty much can't tour. So
yeah, I'm gonna come out to a taping. I appreciate you writing me about
that. Yeah, anytime you wanna. Come to one of them. We tape early on Tuesdays.
Cool,
because it goes out the same night.
How long's your taping take?
Pretty quick, because Show one ran a bit over, and they needed to slice some stuff out. But they tried to tape it to the length that the show is.
Yeah.
And so because it has to go out, I think they got like a 5-hour turnaround before it has to be uploaded to the East Coast.
Oh wow.
So maybe not even that.
Right.
So they pretty much tape it to time. So apart from like retakes,
they didn't want to do Jim Jefferies live.
Right. I think Jim didn't want to do Jim Jefferies.
Yeah, he's smart not to.
Smart not to. Like, A, because of things he might say, and B, he has dyslexia as well. So it's like...
Oh, does he really? Shit.
Yeah, he totally does. So it's like, you know, he's not like a newsreader. He needs to, like, learn the stuff, and he'll still stumble over words because they don't come up weird on the teleprompter in his mind.
I've never understood why somebody just doesn't come up with a reworked language for someone who has dyslexia. So if you just change the order of whatever letters he's confusing, wouldn't it be in the right order? And I'm not kidding. I'm serious. You're laughing. I'm not joking.
There is the thing. One of you two might know more about this than I do, but I do know there is research on certain typefaces are substantially easier to read if you have dyslexia than others. And even colors as well. I think they've done research on like colors that come easier to a dyslexic brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's characters too, so you don't have dyslexia with Chinese characters, etc.
Oh, you don't? Because they're just all fucking pictures and scribbles.
Yeah, and I think there's room. So again, I don't want to co-opt this, but I do want to take the opportunity to ask you some questions if that's cool, and Matt, just jump in.
Yeah, do it.
So I guess I'll have just three speed questions, and you can take them wherever you want. You can run with one of them or none of them, or that's cool. I want to know what you think the relationship is between being intelligent and self-knowledge. Let me get them all out, and then you can go. The second one is, I want to know...
When you say self-knowledge, like autodidact, what are you talking about?
Just knowing about yourself, knowing about...
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Self-awareness. Okay.
Yeah. The second one is, I want to know what you think the relationship is between being intelligent and living a good life, and the relationship between intelligence and morality. And you can run with...
All right, let's start with any of those. Self-knowledge. If you grew up in the 70s and 60s, and you were a nerd, you suffered a lot. It's not like nerds being kind of cute, being able to get laid now. But like in movies...
He knows about that.
Yeah, I watched a documentary the other day about nerds getting laid.
In movies, the theme of nerds getting laid movies was that nerds are secretly more special than the jocks who were getting laid, and eventually the cute girl realizes the nerd's specialness, and he gets a girlfriend by the end. And so I walked around thinking, yeah, I'm pretty special, and I got told my IQ at an early age, and I walked around, so like, I more than other people... I had the idea that I was starring in a movie playing in my head, which is kind of dickish at the same time. Like, I suffered for it. And I've been to, like, six shrinks. And I've been trying
six shrinks, I don't want to be overly personal, but for what?
Oh, like I was, I went super OCD chanting to God and turning clockwise when I was 6 years old.
Do you think that, that in general, that's because there's more that can go wrong with a complicated intellectual?
That was just mostly because my parents left me with a scary old babysitter and went to New York for a week. And I wanted time to pass faster, so I started spinning like a clock. And then for other stuff, like couples counseling stuff. And
well, do you think that there's someone, if someone is less intelligent, that they have less self-knowledge?
Well, I just happen, I don't know if I can talk about other people, except that I've got a lot of self-knowledge because I'm always observing myself from being a conceited prick.
It doesn't strike me as that way.
Self-absorbed, say.
Yeah.
And also because I've been trying to sell a memoir for 10 years or 20 years or freaking 40 years, so I'm always like looking at myself in a literary bullshit.
So that's unrelated to intelligence, then?
Well, I'm just saying that I'm more transparent to myself, say, than perhaps my wife is when we're in couples counseling. I kind of know why I do some of the things I do. Because I fucking gazed at my navel for so many years. Well, I don't think that it's necessary. I don't know that how highly correlated it is with intelligence.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna, yeah.
Like you take a Donald Rumsfeld, who highly confident and it has, if you see a documentary about him, he has like very little insight into how he comes across, and perhaps very little personal insight. I don't know. I don't know. The next question is...
Well, that comports with my intuition. I was thinking that's the case. But the next question, you think there's a relationship between being smart and leading a good life?
Well, when you try to break down what's good, like, everything fragments. It becomes... you get that... for me, you got two things that everything hinges upon. The Keynes quote, in the long run, we're all dead.
Yeah.
And the golden rule. And beyond that, it's hard to do moral reasoning. Like, we don't know if there's any way to keep score except via how we would feel if we were in a certain situation. And that applies to, how we treat animals. It's like, yeah, they were raised in shitty conditions, but then tunk, the metal plug hits them in the head and they're dead, yeah. And we assume that resets the score and their suffering doesn't exist anymore because their brain's been obliterated. But that's about as morally relativistic as you can get, and which doesn't work. You have to put things... If you look at smart people, a lot of them have been pricks. Isaac Newton was apparently a miserable bastard. His mom kind of kicked him out of the house when he was 10 because she married a new guy. He lived for a long time and he was like very vengeful. So he was head of the Royal Mint.
He
was a mean dude.
If it hasn't given you more self-reflection, if it hasn't given you an opportunity to know the good life, what has being intelligent done for you, if anything?
Sounds like it's been a curse.
Nah.
No?
Well, it's given me good stories.
Okay.
It's given me a certain amount of low-level fearlessness that confidence in doing really stupid shit because something interesting might happen.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I went back to high school again and again and again and again. I graduated from high school the first time in 78, and then I went back in 79, and I tried to go back in 80, and then
Why did you do that?
The first time was, I was afraid I was so nerdy. This is 1978, and it was really important to lose your virginity, culturally. And also for me, because I wanted to put my penis in somebody, or at least get jacked off by somebody. And I thought, and I was applying to Harvard, and then I freaked out, and I'm like, if I can't get laid in a little high school in Colorado, how am I going to get laid at Harvard where there are, like, Kennedys and people who went to Exeter and stuff? I'll be especially lonely, and I'll flunk out because of it, and it'll suck.
See, that's some bad math. I mean, Kennedys fuck like monkeys.
That's what I mean. But they'd be soaking up all the fucking, and I'd be like a sad little Jewish kid in a cold room with a clanky radiator.
Yeah. Imagine being like a Jewish kid in a cage of monkeys.
Wait long enough, they're going to write Shakespeare.
Yeah. So I had two families because my parents got divorced. I'm like, I'm just going to go have a second senior year. I'm going to remake myself into a cool guy a la Barbarino on Welcome Back, Kotter. And I'm going to try to get laid. And it didn't work. And then, like, a few years later.
You went to numerous.
Yeah.
You tricked these high schools into taking over again as a senior,
the
right?
The key to it is when you have people who are getting paid $2,000 a month to do their job, they're not getting paid to worry about somebody who's kind of hinky.
Uh-huh.
They either figure it's okay with the administration. But, I mean, like, you know, $500 a week to have this full-time job, which was terrible money even in the 80s. You know, they're not going to go that far out of their way.
Okay, so can I, Matt, jump in if you want?
I'm here.
Yeah, can I follow up some questions? Because I'm curious a few things. So let's say that you had a magic wand and you can wave it and you could barter something like maybe you'll lose something physical. You'll have some physical deficiency you'd suffer, but you'd gain more intelligence points.
Everybody always asks the other way around. So I like that way. Yeah, I would give up, like, I don't know, a leg from the knee down for extra intelligence.
You would?
Yeah.
And what would you do with it if it hasn't been useful to you to live a good life?
I've got a theory of the universe.
What is what?
Well, the universe...
In a minute. No.
Elevator pitch.
The universe is run by... You know, the Big Bang universe is kind of run by randomness.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people... who, including me, who believe the universe is run by information. The universe is made of information. The universe
is... Ray Kurzweil's part of his shtick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and a bunch of other people. Yeah, yeah. And so I've got a whole theory around that. And if I could lose the leg and gain the ability to be better at sussing out this theory, I'd do that for
Would
sure.
Would you give... Maybe that could be because you don't value your leg as much. What about
what
about your dick? No, man, I'm totally serious. Like, what about if you were never to get laid again? Would you barter that for more IQ points?
Possibly, because the pills I take to keep my hair are testosterone blockers, which gives me kind of noodle dick. So my dick is not as valuable to me now as, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
You keep picking parts he doesn't really need, apparently.
Yeah. So, your impetus for doing things seems to have wavered throughout the year. So now you're more concerned with keeping your hair than getting laid.
It's ironic that that I paid so much attention to what my dick needed in my 20s, and now I'm in my 50s, and it's like, yeah, all right, you know, I'll jack you off like 5 times a week, but it'll be, you know.
Do you have any more questions? Because I have questions.
Hey, ask your questions. I don't want to monopolize.
Heather will be asking her questions after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Skeptically Yours at SkepticallyYours.net and available to the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now a special announcement. I said announcement.
This is a big super shout out to all of our live listeners from last show. Kyle Delaney, Factory Man, Trevor, Didgeridrew.
I get it.
Chloe.
From Down Under.
Beelzebub's Vascular Cock. Melissa Krawix, Grave Apologist, My Tits, Sasha Luna, The Fart Man, and Joe Swam. Thanks for being here, everybody.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Peter Boghossian, Rick Rosner, and Matt Kirshen.
So my question for
you is...
Again,
thanks for being here, everybody. I'm sorry, Heather, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I just ruined it.
What? Your question to him is...
Out of all the videos that I've watched, and I've watched a few and read some things about you.
You mean about him, right.
Yes, about Rick. How did you meet your wife?
Yeah.
All right, so I had a 2-year relationship with a big, mean-ass girl.
Okay.
I like big, powerful women. Mm. I'm tall, and my wife's, you know, if I have a shitty day, my wife is as tall as I am. I tried to go taller, but like, you know, like the 6'4" basketball star at the University of Colorado did not want to date a 5'10½" Jew. But anyway, I dated this girl, and she was a bouncer with me at a bar, and it was a pretty fraught relationship. She kind of had a lot of anger. And we had a lot of like angry sex, which is
pretty good.
Well, it's bad from a humanistic point of view, but it's good from a like a it really gets in there and fucks you up good in a and so it took like years to get over this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was in a funk for a long time. And
what happened? She break up with you?
First, I broke up with her because I just couldn't tolerate, like, you know,
the anger.
And just the bull. And then she begged me to come back, and that gave her a chance to dump me for another bouncer. And then there was like big bouncer war at this bar. And, but I to try to take myself out of a funk, I decided I'm going to do something pointless every week and see what happens.
Okay.
And, you know, like one week I'd write a letter to the National Enquirer saying that I'd been kidnapped by aliens or...
You're the fucking problem.
Possible. I mean, they didn't run it or anything.
What about the banner you put on the back of a plane?
Well, that was legit. I mean, it was stupid, but I also believe in the equation that I flew over Boulder, Denver.
Okay.
So anyway, one week, my stupid thing to do was to go to a Jewish singles dance, which I knew was stupid because I'd been to them before. And they're maybe not stupid everywhere. They probably are, actually. But
is
like
that, just to be clear, is that a dance full of Jewish people who are single, or is that full of like loads of people who are dancing like Jewish singles?
the former. It's a bunch of...
They're one on the same, Matt.
Yeah, it's a bunch of sad cases. And I knew that it was going to be a bunch of sad cases. But I went, I saw this tall girl in a purple prom dress, because that's what people were wearing to shit like this.
In the 80s?
In 1986, yeah. And what I hadn't realized is that it's good to go to a place, a dance with a bunch of sad cases, because you stand out as being slightly less sad than you would otherwise.
See, that's what you should have been doing the whole entire time.
Yeah, it took me a while. Anyway, we entered a dance contest. We came in third, and... She became my legal guardian the last time, my fake cousin and legal guardian the last time I went back to high school.
And she was down for all this stuff?
Surprisingly, yeah. And I'm like, if she's going to put up with this just ridiculous bullshit, because she's much more conservative in terms of behavior than I am, but if she's going to make this kind
Thank
of sacrifice...
Thank fuck.
Uh-huh. Right?
Thank fuck she's more conservative. Right?
Yeah, so, and I think it's turned out to be a good call.
Oh, great.
Wow.
So she's, like... Has this, your behavior ever threatened this relationship?
They've gone 20 years. They're still going.
Yeah, we've been in couples counseling. Not every week and not with serious issues, but like, you know, just this main, it's a good, strategically, it's a good idea. We go like every 3-4 weeks.
Piggyback off of Heather's question, she doesn't mind that you talk about it on a podcast with X number of people watching?
I don't know. I mean, it's not like we go to the counseling because we're fucked up and pissed off at each other. We just go to talk about shit in a refereed setting with a guy who's our couples counselor is like 88 years old.
Oh,
he's,
wow.
He's awesome. And, you know, he knows how to help people work through stuff.
That question allowed me to learn something about your relationship and something about your relationship, Peter.
Oh. I mean, there is, I can give you the key to being successful in couples counseling, because I've been to three of them, and one, I just absolutely got my ass kicked. The person who doesn't complain is, if you have a bad counselor, is thought of as the bad guy. You're like, yeah, everything's kind of okay. Well, and the other person's like, no, this, if somebody's not a skilled...
So you're the problem if you're not speaking
up. Yeah, if somebody's not a skilled counselor, they'll be like, yeah, it's you.
And do you think that's because there's a financial drive to keep people going back to counseling, and so they have these, they create these narratives?
No, it's just this person was, I don't know, they weren't, you know, there are good doctors and bad doctors, or doctors who maybe will eventually be good but aren't yet, and this person was...
So, I think it's because psychology is bullshit, and you'd learn that if you just sign up for Scientology, you pussy.
Well, I actually question one of the fundamental premises of psychology.
Yeah, I know,
you
right?
You have to talk about your problems.
I'm with you.
I don't know
I'm
if
with
you seven to that, but so my guess is, please correct me if I'm wrong, that your wife doesn't give a shit how intelligent you are. She cares more about how she's treated. She cares... I mean, that seems to be, with the people with whom you're interacting... a big deal, but I bet you...
Well, on an everyday basis, well, my wife is... She'd be good on this podcast. She's naturally skeptical. So she doesn't necessarily... I'm always like, yeah, I'm the smartest guy in America. You should believe me about how we're doing in the stock market. And she's like, I explain it again. It's like she doesn't...
How does the Dunning-Kruger effect come into play here? Because it does, right? Right?
How would it?
Well, I mean, it does in that it pisses me off, the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Oh, it does?
Because we live in a Dunning-Kruger world right now.
Yeah.
But not... I mean, we're more of the sitcom where the dad is a simpleton and the wife is competent.
Yeah.
Which is not exactly... In my mind, that's not exactly accurate because I think I'm schmott.
Do you have kids?
Yeah, we have a daughter.
How old is she?
22. She's smart in a normal way.
That's nice.
And my wife's smart in a normal way, too.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you know your wife's IQ? Are you guys breeding people?
Ponder that question for a second.
No.
I can't imagine that anybody who'd ever... I mean, that's such a weird question to
ask.
To
me, it's not weird because this man...
No, I know. Right?
Well, I guess the question
is
just like...
illegitimate. It's just a...
Do you sneak a peek at your results, at the results when you do your morning IQ test?
I have a rough idea, but it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Everybody was ill-served in certain ways by the schools in the 70s. Yeah, they were pretty laissez-faire. And so, like, she had shots at, like, entering gifted programs. And then the parents were like, no, but because then you can't go to school with your friends. And that would never happen now, where every possibly gifted kid is, like, the shining treasure to be, you know, grown up smart as possible.
Right. Mm. I thought I had been indoctrinated... I'm embarrassed how much misinformation I will accept and then go throughout my life and walk in the world and regurgitate. It's really embarrassing. Even as a skeptic, I fall for this today. And recently, a friend of mine, by recently, I mean the last 7, 8, 10 years, a friend of mine told me that IQ tests are racist. And then,
of course.
And then made the
That's
argument.
The big thing, though.
Right, and then made the argument and convinced me. And this is someone with whom I rarely agree with on anything. Really good friend. Love her dearly. She's not right about most everything, in my opinion. The older I get, the more I realize I've got nearly everything wrong. So it kind of helps my relationship with people like this. But I, without question, went, oh my God, that makes so much sense. It was explained to me in a relatively rudimentary way. I understood it. I bought it. And I went, God damn. And so I went down the road thinking, yeah, IQ tests are racist. And then I'm listening to, and this goes back to what you were talking about earlier. I'll explain in a moment, Peter. I was listening to Sam Harris, and he had a guy on who got lambasted.
Yeah. Charles Murray.
Charles Murray was on his show, who got lambasted and called a racist because he did this really amazing study and wrote a book about IQ.
Yeah,
go ahead.
But people who go around saying IQ tests aren't racist.
Yeah.
Often have really ugly agendas.
Mm.
And there's a lot of stuff wrong with IQ tests.
Yeah.
And my feeling in general is it doesn't fucking matter in that, especially now, because our technology will make us all geniuses eventually if we can live another 20 years.
Dude, the other day I had this, I think Heather sat on the couch going, no shit, idiot. But a buddy of mine sent me a text. And he made a reference that I recognized but didn't know the details of. Mike Kaplan, he was staying here as a comic. You know Mike, right?
Yeah.
And he sent me a joke response to a joke I had just sent him. And the reference that that Mike Kaplan sent me, I recognized, but I didn't know anything about, right? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I just turned to Alexa, and I asked Alexa to define this Magna Carta, which was one of the punchlines that he had used. He said, back in 15, he's letting me know he's coming back to the house, because when we have house guests, they know I'm pretty much naked 24/7. I said, yeah, what happened? I said, what happened back in 15? That's what I said to him. And he goes, Magna Carta. And I asked Alexa to define Magna Carta. And she did. And he did that instantly. And in 2015 is when Magna Carta...
12.
In 17...
12, 15, I think.
12, 15.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, yeah, 1215. You're right. Yeah, that's exactly right. In 1215, that's when Magna Carta, and she defined it. And so I said, you've jumped back 700 years further than I was thinking. I had no idea the reference he had made. But I connected with my other brain, and it instantly, nearly instantly, gave me the information I needed. And we continued having a joke based on something he knew and I didn't, but I instantly understood, right? And I went...
Because that's part of your brain now.
It is. It blew my mind. I turned to Heather and I go, when we get the chip in the head, I get to sound as smart as Mike Kaplan like that. I need this. I need it right fucking now.
And yeah, that, so it doesn't freaking matter if, like, some people like to argue that certain continents and certain nations, like, have lower IQs, and fuck that. You're just trying to have dominion over certain nations.
Right.
But... there's a thing called the Flynn effect,
yeah,
which is the average IQ of all of humanity has gone up 15 points in the 50 years after World War II, and that's because of cultural literacy, because the entire planet learned how to think in terms measured by IQ tests.
Well, that doesn't.
But then, if that's the case, doesn't that surely then mean that there is a cultural bias in IQ tests, because people who haven't grown up in that culture are less affected by whatever is driving the Flynn effect?
I think so, yeah.
According to what I heard on Sam Harris's podcast, no, not at all.
Why in not?
I'm not smart enough to explain what I heard on that show, and I'm certainly smart enough not to try to pretend like I can explain it in a conversation. I've only listened to the thing twice. I don't understand it completely.
Also, but, just before you get into it as well, Magna Carta was 800, not 700 years.
God damn it. Oh, yeah. All right. Well,
anyway,
thanks for that. That's it for the free version of episode 117. Another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I'd like to thank if you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guests Peter Boghossian, Rick Rosner, and Matt Kirshen. I also want to thank my co-host and producer Heather Henderson and our camera switcher Riley. Tune in next time when our guests will be
skeptics,
and we'll be talking about
how gravity is just a theory.
What the hell are
our
you talking about?
Our theme music,
about?
Courtesy of the sound editor of the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph. You can't run forever, swam.
Where can people find Matt Kirshen online, Matt?
I'm Matt Kirshen on all the social media, and have a listen to Probably Science, on which Rick has guested in the past.
Awesome.
And also check out the Jim Jefferies Show, because a certain proportion of the jokes on that are mine.
That's right. And Rick, where can people find you?
At Dumbass Genius, all one word, on Twitter. And then I'm starting to get this stupid fucking YouTube channel off
awesome.
The ground.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, cool. And where can people find Peter Boghossian online?
Peter Boghossian on Twitter.
That's all you got to know, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe.